Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, showcasing wealth strategies and investment wisdom that is essential to your evolving world. I'm Letitia Burbaum, and I am your guest host today. And thank you, Paul, our engineer.
I just love what goes on before the show here. Everybody's so casual, so common. About 30 seconds before, where's this? And everybody's racing in and throwing mics on. Then it's like, hi, how are you?
Kids, do not try this at home.
Yeah.
The voice of our guest here.
Right? Being prepared is always great. Well, I'm really excited to have Rad here today on our show. Welcome, Rad.
It's strange sitting on this side of the table, by the way.
You know, this is Rad from the Rad Life here on the RC Talk Radio.
I was going to say that. We're really excited that actually Rad has his own show here as well. So it'll be so fun. So when you guys go to OC Talk Radio, you can click on the Zandbergen Report, and you can also click on the Rad Show. So we want to basically let everyone know that
the Rad Life.
Oh, the Rad Life.
This isn't just a show.
It's
this
a Rad Show, but
it's
called
a Rad
the Rad
show.
Life.
It's a Rad
All
Show.
All shows on the OC Talk Radio are Rad. But yeah, no, I appreciate you inviting me. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah.
I've had Bart on the show before as well on the Rad Life. And yeah, so anybody out there, you have nothing else to do in your life. You must go to octalkradio.net or to the individual podcast for the different shows, and you must just binge on all of our shows.
That always.
That's the only thing you need to do.
Would you rather watch the craziness on network news on the nightly news? Would you
Heck no. I'd rather watch the craziness on OC Talk Radio.
That's right.
Well, you can go for a quick run or work out and then listen at any time what works best for you and get some tips, some financial, you know, insight. So yeah.
Yeah, just make sure you're watching where you're stepping, because we could say some zingers on this show and we'll just throw you off your walk.
You know what stuns me? And then I'll let Letitia pick back up here. But Letitia brings in a whole tribe of people. And Rad's one of them.
Yeah.
And some of the other people. This community that you guys know as wealth advisors, that of cool, hip, happening people. I never knew there was such a tribe until you guys brought us start bringing
Well, Paul, let's not get down that path. Of what you don't know.
Rad brings him in. You guys mean there's a tribe of people in Orange County I never knew existed. I'm cool. I'm pleased to be sitting on the periphery with them.
Well, I have to say is what we do is part of our job is being able to go into the community and get the best ideas, the best resources, and really find that for our clients and the people that we work with and help the people we know. So
yeah, we get paid to be nosy.
Yeah.
and to explore. And that's and there's no better job. So yeah, no, in our own areas of expertise, that's very true. And I think with that, you tend to gravitate towards people that maybe are equally minded or similar. And it is a very small county. It is a very small county, people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So good and bad, it is a very small county.
So I wanted to talk about you a little bit and kind of pick your brain and talk about, because I know we do wealth strategies, and not only do you have your own podcast, but actually what you do for a living is very, very different, and you help people that are going through transitions in their life, and you have a lot of designations behind what you do, and you're in interior design, and so you help people when it matters the most. Maybe they have something that's not functional anymore, maybe they have a need, they've outgrown, they're looking at return of investment, that kind of thing, and so maybe you can tell us a little bit about you, your background first, and then we can kind of go into some value add for our audience.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for asking. It is primarily like the bread and butter is interior design, distilled down to interior design. And I want to make a distinction. It's between the design aspect of it and the decorating aspect of it. Interior design tends to be very solution-oriented, and it depends on what field of expertise you specialize in. If you're in a commercial setting, if you're doing restaurants, hospitality projects, we spent the last year working on Monarch Beach and different areas. We've done restaurants in the last couple of years. We're opening a small spa for
So people don't know if what Monarch Beach is.
It's a resort down in Orange County.
A luxury
resort. Used to be the St. Regis.
Yeah.
And they reflagged it as Monarch Beach. It's in Dana Point, has been a cornerstone of that part of Orange County for, over 20 years, probably 25 years at this point.
So congratulations for having that under your
Thank
belt.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it was a classic case of a property that was being repositioned successfully so by the current ownership. And there were certain areas that they did not capture when they did their major renovation. And they had a direct negative impact to their business model.
How so?
Well, basically, what happened is that property got an infusion of about $21 million in renovation.
Okay.
They revamped the lobby. They did a beautiful job. They revamped the bar in the lobby, changed the approach, the sense. I've lived in San Clemente off and on since 87, so I saw it as St. Regis.
Right.
Right, and I saw this new transformation. There was a spa in there before that was very much part bread and butter for any resort that calls themselves a resort. They actually have to have a spa of genuine offering.
That's what I always look for.
Well, and it was not the case. I've been doing spas since 98. I remember the day when I saw a sign go down from where it said hotel and casino, and the word casino came down, the word spa went up.
Wow.
I was on the island of Mauritius off the east coast of Africa. It's so small, that island of Mauritius, that the M in Mauritius, half of it's already in the water. Wow. That's how small, but it's a beautiful, beautiful place if anybody gets to go. It's about 24 hours flight from here. But literally, that was a moment where things changed, and you cannot be a resort or a luxury offering without having a spa component. So here we go. This property had a spa component. They repositioned the spa. They actually rebranded it, brought in a brand from Arizona called Miravel, which is a very well-known brand in Arizona, a one-off in Arizona. They brought it in. This was the number two Miravel location at Monarch Beach, and they did a full remodel on the spa, relocated the spaces. The one thing they did not do was they did not change the locker rooms.
What? And I love the locker rooms. I spend time there.
And you know what? Thanks for saying that, because the reason that became a negative.
Yeah, you want to feel clean.
Well, and people were walking in. Now, here's the thing. Most of these resort properties, people don't know. A lot of their bread and a lot of their meat, the money that they make on a monthly basis, is from membership. Mm-hmm. They draw on memberships from the areas around them. So there's high-end homes with $3 to $4 million in within a stone's throw away from this property. A lot of these people have been members for a long time at the St. Regis and now Monarch Beach. Mm-hmm. And they basically have been going into these locker rooms on a daily basis, twice a week, three times a week, working out. And then basically, because it has steam sauna and jacuzzi, hot tub amenities, they spend more time even in these locker rooms than just changing and walking out.
Right.
So now you have people that have been using these locker rooms for, let's say, 5 to 10 years, that are walking through $21 million of renovation to the locker rooms that have never been changed.
Wow.
So if you had an issue, they didn't do that.
That's just an oversight.
So, to their credit, though, they recognized that was an issue.
Got it.
And they brought us in to basically fix it. So we went in again. It was almost like we really are a creative solution provision. Mm-hmm. It's almost a business consultancy that applies itself into the physical environment. Is how we apply interior design.
Yeah.
So we've done that. We've looked at the retail at the Monarch, at the Montage, to reposition. We've looked at the retail at the Surf and Sand to reposition, because again,
these are other high end properties on the coast. Nearby.
Yeah.
Right.
And so all of these properties, and similarly commercial real estate, retail is all changing into experiential retail now, because it's not enough to have just a retail store. You have to have a reason for people to be drawn to it.
Yep, it's an experience-driven.
The irony is I launched a new show for my media company, and the show is called Selling the Lux Life. We launched one last Wednesday morning, and we had a gentleman by the name of Shaheen Siddiqui, who was a friend of mine, who's the head of Lab Holdings, owns the lab and the camp and the packing house, which are experiential retail food and beverage destinations in Orange County. And it was interesting what we talked about, because I told him, well, what was the catalyst that caused you to start doing this back in 93, where you opened the lab?
Right.
And he said he was reading an article where basically Mall of America or something was purposely taking away benches out of the mall because they didn't want the kids to hang out.
Mm.
And he's like, that's crazy.
Right.
You want people to hang out, because the longer they hang out, the
more
they're
money
likely.
They spend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that was the catalyst for what he started. And I remember where they laughed at him and said, no, this model will never work. And now you got OC Mix and all these other places that are echoing exactly that model.
Yeah.
So what we do is, whether it's a resort, high destination resort, whether it's a mom and pop that's looking for an expansion.
Yeah.
Any of these commercial things, basically the stage upon which you perform your business, that physical stage upon which you perform your business, is critically linked to the success of your business.
Yeah.
And when you're a restaurant and the likelihood that you'll be out of business is in 6 months is high, you need to have a very integrated, layered, sophisticated offering.
Got it.
In everything that is touched, and however customer service is delivered, from the minute you see that 5x10 ad in the paper saying, hey, come to me, I've got an opening, all the way through till when you pick up your pickup order and take it home, and now you go, oh, wow, this is really good food. Who is it from? Oh, let me tell you. And it all has to be done that way, especially when real estate values are very high.
Right.
in high destination locations like Orange County, you're paying, you know, 5 to 7 to possibly 10 in Corona Del Mar a square foot.
Yeah.
Before you even open your doors, you're already out of pocket, you know, thousands of dollars for lease.
Right.
So design for success is kind of what we try to do.
So going back to the Monarchs, I want to be able to make sure that we're being able to give some concrete tips for the listeners.
Yeah.
So you were able to go in. Mm-hmm. You won the contract. You then were able to say, these are the areas that we can provide a solution.
Correct.
Because you identified the locker rooms were definitely a weak spot.
Correct.
And then you clearly did the renovation.
And very, very sensitive to their budget, for example.
That's a good point.
For example, and I will tell this to everybody because I'm kind of proud of this, is all the original tile that was in those locker rooms is still there.
Oh, interesting.
We did not take out all that tile and put in new tile because we didn't need to. We could reposition those locker rooms, modernize them, make them look very appealing without having to incur the cost for that to happen. Part of it was cost, but also part of it was downtime.
It's efficiency.
And the added layer to this is we did this because it's very, very, very critical to an ongoing business that's got its door open. We actually did this at night, and we did it in phases. Mm. So those locker rooms, other than for a very short period of time, we're never closed.
That's great.
Yeah.
There's no downtime.
Right. And that's the kind of thing that I tell people is when you're basically looking for a business consultant and you're in a brick and mortar, you need to be dealing with somebody that has a sophisticated ability to understand that.
So what are some key things that they would look for to find someone like you as a business owner, in that situation?
Well, referrals and word of mouth are absolutely the best, right?
Okay.
But
right.
I will say this. In the current market, everybody's very busy. General contractors are very busy. You know, in some cases, people may think they'll just go directly to the general contractor. They'll avoid the supposedly expensive fee structure of a design firm, right?
Uh-huh.
That's not necessarily true. Plus, when you do that, there's still decisions that have to be made, things that have to be addressed that somebody has to address.
Yep.
And so if you don't bring in that layer of professionalism into the mix, you are now having to do that with a contractor and yourself.
Yeah.
It's taking away from your time that's billable for what you do for a business.
Mm-hmm.
The contractor may not be the best resource for that. And at the end of the day, the contractor is driven by finishing the project and getting paid, not necessarily layering an offering that's going to position you for success.
What does that mean?
Well, meaning that, you know, what is your, if you're an office, what's your internal corporate culture? How is the actual layout and the remodeling that's being done fulfill that and strengthen it?
Mm-hmm.
If you have future plans for expansion, whether it's in services or whether in physical space, how are you spending money today that tomorrow that isn't going to be wasted
because
now you're going to have to get rid of it in order to do something else? All of these things, all this planning that is proactive planning, you know, in advance. Same thing when you do with financial planning.
Yep.
All these things have to be part of that matrix. Most people, for example, will come in and say, okay, I haven't done anything for 10 years. And this is very common right now, is a lot of places haven't touched anything like for 10 years.
Yeah.
They're starting to feel a little bit like maybe the economy is going to turn a little bit. I got to basically have a better face on. I got a bit better offering.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go in and do something. And the first thing they do is they set money aside to basically do that, let's say, in 2019. What they don't do is they don't account for, once I do that facelift, what am I going to do with it?
Right.
Once I do that additional retail storage for shelving for more products, what are the products I'm going to put in there?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have a matrix? Do I have an understanding of what competitively other people around me within a 30-mile radius are doing?
It's that big picture planning.
You have to. And you have to be very specific about it because you are trying to have some decisions that will sustain you for 5 to 7 years.
Right.
So that your return on investment, ooh, there's that word, right?
Mm-hmm.
Return on investment.
I love that word,
right,
by the way.
is quantifiable.
Right.
It's not just pie in the sky thing.
Yeah.
So we can drill down. And people are going, well, what does this got to do with interior design? It has to do with everything about planning. And if you are performing your business, whether it be service or product, whether you're an office. Right now, if you're an office, you get on Google and you put in somebody's address.
Mm-hmm.
And what pops up? Visuals of the outside of the building.
Yes.
Then, in some cases, visuals of the inside of the building.
Right.
If the inside of their building is not up to the caliber of what they are pitching themselves in terms of language on the website, you are either looking for them as potentially being a service provider, so you're going to be a client, or you're looking to be employed by them.
Mm-hmm.
Those visuals are critical because they're going to set an impression.
Right.
And you may go, maybe I'm not. Maybe I should look somewhere.
Right.
And so those all these pieces that seemingly are not necessary. They are really very critical, and people are very visually driven.
Yeah. You're like their visual quarterback.
You need to be. Yeah. I mean, and most people don't even understand that they need it.
Yeah.
Because they're thinking, oh, I'm just building a wall. No, right. That wall is your backdrop. That wall is your stop and repeat. That wall is what's going to be photographed in front of your pictures that now you can use proprietary images on your website versus stock images that everybody can be like. Yep. Exactly. And it's and this day and age, if you have any kind of social media presence, you are the brand of you.
Yeah.
So you have to have a strategy that not only shows the caliber of what you do, but also has an authentic way to present you. Because people will look at stuff that's repetitive and regurgitated, and they will chuck it away in 2 seconds.
Yeah, it makes absolute sense. We'll hold on 1 second.
Take
We're
going to
have a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Okay, let's do it.
With more than 25 years of experience, Bart's comprehensive perspective has earned acclaim from clients across the globe. Gain access to lessons learned throughout Bart's career by following at Bart Zandbergen on Instagram. To learn more about Bart Zandbergen as an advisor, mentor, and public speaker, and for more information on Optivest Wealth Management, please visit www.bartzandbergen.com.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. Buy 3 with triple points on airfare. Buy 2 with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over 1 million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest. Higher.
Now back to Letitia and her animated guest.
Oh, he's great. I'm really excited and I'm learning a lot, and I think this is fantastic. So I know that we've covered the commercial side, but do you also do residential?
Yeah, we do. And sometimes that is as a result of doing commercial. So we'll go in and do commercial and somebody will say, well, could you do my home, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In other cases, it's a specific need. Like I've done homes for family members. I've done homes for people that are looking at either they purchased a new house, they need to put in, like, we even do landscaping. So front yard, backyard for HOA.
Yeah.
Because there's a timeline associated with it. So it's, again, it's sort of providing solutions for people, right?
Yeah.
So speaking of solutions.
I love solution planning, by the way.
Right. And solution planning, and it's really funny because what I'm about to talk about, I actually presented to people from a financial perspective in terms of, like, independent decision making.
Okay.
But basically there's such a thing called sort of aging in place.
Okay.
And we are in a county in Orange County. It is the largest per capita concentration of seniors in the country.
Okay, so slow down and say that one more time.
Orange County, per an article that came out, I think it was now 2 years ago, was the largest per capita concentration of seniors in the country.
That's a lot.
Not Florida. Orange County. And to be specific, South Orange County is the largest concentration of that. And if you are surprised, let me break it down for you. Most people moved into that area 70s.
Okay.
They bought homes that were $250,000, $400,000 maybe if it was a large house.
Yeah.
You know.
A lot of appreciation.
There was no 73 freeway. There was no, there was nothing past the Spectrum area. In fact, the Spectrum was Fields, right? And there was orange trees in Orange County at one point, right? So.
Orange groves.
There are orange groves still, but they're in private properties now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But Orange County is actually a perfect example of what's happening actually all over the country and to a certain degree or the other. But we have an aging population.
Yeah.
Paul is sitting over my shoulder, which basically he's our bona fide in studio, like, baby boomer, right?
I'm the old guy now.
Yeah, who doesn't listen, by the way, which is a perfect baby boomer characteristic.
He does nothing.
For 3 years, I've been telling him advice on what to do as a senior, and he does nothing. Right?
I know. I'm still waiting for him to let us manage his assets.
No. He's not going to do anything. He's like, assets, schmatschets. I'm a hippie slash baby boomer. Okay, but with all seriousness, with that aging population of about 10,000 people a day turning 65.
Right.
Okay. And you're talking about
how many a day?
10,000 people a day turn 65. And you're talking about something like 72 million people in this country.
Right.
Okay. First of all, and Paul will tell you, they're all surprised as heck that they are going to live longer than they anticipated.
Yeah.
Their money that they have set aside, if they have set aside money.
Right.
Okay, because that's a big F.
Now we're talking about baby boomers and pension plans and
exactly.
Social Security and
we're talking,
fixed income.
And we're talking about pensions under assault because a lot of places are basically just buried by pensions, right? Public services, education, all of that stuff. The pensions are so large, they're like an albatross around municipalities.
So we're talking about cash flow limitations.
Right. And quality of life that you are trying to sustain, right? So you've moved into your home. So one of the things, and it became very acutely clear during the down economy.
Yeah.
Is the rationale, logical thing about residences as you age is, for the longest time, we have thought, okay, you get older.
Yeah.
You're going to downsize the term, right? Downsize. You're going to downsize.
Everyone says that, but what does that mean?
There's no downsizing. 25% of homes that were sold in the last couple of years, 25% were to larger homes for baby boomers.
Right.
And I'll tell you why. Because they all want multi-generational housing for their grandkids. They want those homes to be second homes for their grandkids.
I love it.
Right. So actually, 25% of real estate that was sold to baby boomers was to larger homes, not smaller. But the normal thinking, the rationale was, you scale down, you go to a smaller house.
You have extra cash flow.
You move out to the desert. You pick up a Del Webb property. You know, you move to Palm Springs. But you can't move to Palm Springs anymore because now it's the hip place and everything's expensive.
Right.
It's the inland. It's the desert Laguna Beach.
Right.
Right.
So, which I love it there, by the way.
Right. But that's the thing. People were kind of forced to stay in their houses. If they were to do what rationally they should have done when they got older, they would have sold those houses at a loss.
So what do you do and how do you make an impact?
Right. So we want people to stay in their homes as long as possible for a number of reasons.
Okay.
Part of it is cost.
Okay.
Part of it is familiarity with your surrounding. It made no sense to me ever that when somebody is basically in the most need for familiar surroundings, that you would relocate them to another part they have no idea where the grocery is or the gas station.
I know that idea sounds terrifying, though, right? Doesn't it to you?
Right. Yeah. So why would I want to move my parents who are familiar with everything in San Clemente out of their home in San Clemente unless I absolutely cannot sustain them in their home?
Right.
So what's happening is people were realizing that my home that I'm in, that I bought at $200,000, $300,000, this is in the 70s or 80s, is now closer to $7 and $8 million, maybe $1 million.
Correct.
If I sell it right now, and I may have refinanced it. So let's say, I don't know what percentage of equity you own, but the point is the value of the house is X, much better than when I bought it.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is it's a down economy. They're down market. So if I hold on to that house for another 5 to 10 years, I'm going to ride out that market cycle, and I'm going to basically have more appreciation in the value of my house, even if it is something I sell at that point, right? And transition to something else. So the house that I bought, though, was never intended for me to age in.
But you need to change.
You need modifications.
Right.
So countertops that are too high at 42 inches. Somebody who's older doesn't want to climb on a bar stool.
Right.
If you're remodeling your kitchen, if you're remodeling your bathroom, the master bathroom, your downstairs bedroom, you're turning into a guest bedroom, the small powder that you have downstairs, you're somehow incorporating a shower that has no threshold in it.
Yeah.
All of which is physical improvements to the property that have a large recoup cost on the improvements when you go to sell.
Right.
People will tell you the highest recoup is on kitchen remodels, on master bedroom bathrooms, you know, carpet flooring. So this is not sort of like, oh, I just feel like doing this.
Right.
You actually own a house. You haven't touched this house in 30 years. You want to improve it for better positioning for resale. And you want to start to live in it as long as possible.
For use. Absolutely.
Because here's the truth. Today, if you were to go into assisted living, and what they usually use as a benchmark is a single one-bedroom unit as a measure, right?
Like kind of a closet.
Right. In Orange County, a one-bedroom, single-unit assisted living is $4,000 a month.
Mm-hmm. If not, a lot more.
That's the median.
Right.
Okay. If you go to a full service, like where basically you have medical care.
$5,000 to $7,000 a month.
Possibly 10, depending on location.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're down in Corona Del Mar with their location with Ocean View, you're looking at 10 grand a month.
Right.
Okay. Now, in contrast, if you had a person come into the house and provide daycare, adult daycare, the range is between $25 a day to $75 a day.
Mm-hmm.
That means that at $25 a day, for 30 days, I'm paying $750.
Which is a lot less
than $4,000 to $10,000. Right. So let's say the other end of it. Let's say it's $100.
Yeah.
That would be $3,000 instead of $10.
Yeah.
Okay. If you sold your house and took the equity from your house and you put it into a bank and basically started paying for your later years with a certain quality of life insured, right?
Yeah.
How long would that last you? And especially when you are living longer, even if you have chronic illness,
right.
You're living longer.
You're stretching your money.
You're stretching your money.
So we just have a couple minutes
yeah.
left.
Yeah.
And so I know that we're want to be able to ask two things. So
right.
one, if you want to be able to just say a couple key points when they're going through this transition
right.
that they need to be aware of.
Yeah. Well, two things. One, make sure to look at this exactly at your home is your primary asset.
Okay.
So how do you maximize the return of your primary asset today or tomorrow?
All right.
Okay. What investment decisions are you going to make into your improvement of your primary asset so that it pays you later, right? Especially if you're in a desirable coastal location or mm-hmm. places that mm-hmm. are having people move in, right? Because property in California and elsewhere, probably the same thing, is not going down. It's only appreciating more. And mm-hmm. there's less and less of it to be had. So when you're dealing with that, make sure you have people that are willing to tell you.
Yes.
You're getting older.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean you have less independence.
Yep.
That doesn't mean your quality of life has to drop. And these changes that we're making are not necessarily only good for you, but they provide an environment for multi-generationally your kids, your parents, all of these people to congregate around the space instead of having grandma be isolated. You know, Thanksgiving is coming up. Christmas is coming up.
Go get grandma.
You know, grandma's sitting in the living room because yep. she can't sit on that bar stool.
Right.
She can't pass on that family recipe.
Yep.
If you actually make a modification that is universally usable,
yep.
that's multi-generational sensitive, there is a physical and an emotional benefit that comes out of that. Plus, your home is now set
mm-hmm.
for somebody who is from the 72 million that are aging that may be relocating to your area that is looking for a house that would accommodate them.
So it's a higher return on your investment.
Higher return on investment, but proactively planning for it
right.
in advance.
Yeah,
so,
I love it.
So, you know, we're all getting older. We say on the Rad Life, nobody's getting out alive, right? But that doesn't mean that you have to give up on your independence yeah. decision making.
Yeah. No, this is great information. And I know our listeners are going to get a lot from this and I appreciate it. So what's your final thoughts? Ultimate lesson learned.
Ultimate lesson learned is... And it's funny because it permeates through everything I do these days, is first of all, be open to happy accidents. And what I mean by that is don't be so limited in how you want to control a situation that you do not allow yourself those nuggets that happen, those mm-hmm. little moments of, oh, let me see where that goes
yeah.
or what that brings, right?
Right.
And then also don't avoid conversations that are difficult. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that you have family, like I was saying, coming over, it's an opportunity right now to connect
yep.
and also to describe and talk about stuff. Some of the stuff might be hard, like, hey, mom, you know, you think you might be giving up your driving license at some point because you're getting to be at a point where you might be feeling lost or disoriented while
yeah.
you're driving, right? Having
Let's make the, changes now so then it's not so painful later.
Right. And even if you don't make the change now,
yep.
the opportunity of bringing it up as a conversation takes away the fear factor out of it.
Yeah.
So in life, for
you're
me...
You're preparing everybody.
Right. And we do this with clients. Their mm-hmm. clients will come in and they'll be like, well, I'm not sure. And, you know, what can I do? But there's opportunities if you have somebody that is willing to have a courageous conversation with you.
Yes.
That is willing to basically be very, very sensitive, but at the same time, very candid and honest.
Yeah.
What comes out of that, just the same as with financial planning,
absolutely.
Is a very customized approach that fits them and their needs.
Their specific needs.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So how do people find you?
Well, if you type in my name, you'll probably find out more about me than you know you want on social media and internet. But it's spelled R-A-A-D. And then the last name is Ghantous. The website for interior design services is Rad, RaadGhantous.com. And then I'm also on Facebook, on Instagram. Most of the stuff I'm really accessible. So you can drop me an email. You can reach out to me on Messenger or any of those platforms. And you can also reach me at Rad, RaadGhantous, Ghantous, @gmail.com.
Perfect.
If you have questions, it's always good to ask people. It doesn't hurt any or cost you anything to ask people, but this is something that we all deal with. I mean,
yeah.
I know Paul dealt with it with his parents. I'm dealing with it with my parents who are
yep.
in their 80s and 70s
yep.
now. So you don't have to go through this on your own.
Yeah.
And same applies for when you're in a business, if you're trying to get more out of your business.
Right.
Talk to the people that are willing to basically adventurous with you.
Yeah.
But with a calculated risk.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you've been able to be on the show today. I appreciate
it. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can always find us on Zanbergen Report, Wealth Strategies and Investment Wisdom. And you can like us. If you like what you're listening to today, please comment, respond, tweet it, resend it out. That's really the only way that we get our voices out there is
right.
if you actually respond. So otherwise, we're just talking to dead air. So please, please, please listen and share. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zanbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting bartzanbergen.podbean.com. The Zanbergen Report is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer? Email podcast@bartzanbergen.com. Bart A. Zanbergen, CFP, and Letitia Burbaum, AIF, are registered investment advisors with Optivest Inc. and registered representatives with Gramercy Securities Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered by Optivest Inc. under SEC registration.